Welcome to Church Online today as we gather as a community of peace. Special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name's Lynn, I'm the minister at Adelaide West and sharing with you today. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. And last week I encouraged us all to set up four candles in our homes during Advent. They could be real candles or battery ones. Arrange them in a circle or on a mat in a line, or four stones with the words hope, peace, joy and love on them. But I encourage you to do something. And I did the same for our in-person services as well. Today we light the hope and the peace candles. As we gather in our church and homes, we gather around wreaths. We bring our lost hopes and broken peace and the uncertainty in this season of COVID-19. We've lit the candle of hope in the face of uncertainty, and we remember that God's hope is good news. And we've lit the candle of peace in spite of our uncertainty. And we remember that God's peace shines on our anxiety, and God's peace is good news in uncertain times. Emmanuel, God be with us, lighting hope and peace in our lives so that we might shine on our world. Amen. And as we think of Advent, last week I introduced the Advent challenge. And if we're able to buy 25 non-perishable food items for the 25 days leading to Christmas, write a word on each day. Wonder, compassion, community, generosity, courage, growth and strength. And if you're close to Adelaide West, you can drop them to the office week by week or all at once, and we'll use them for the community share table to bless people in our community that are doing it tough at the moment. And we've had some of those food items that have been arriving over the last week. And if you're not close, choose a place to take them that could use this food. I acknowledge this is a lot for some of us, but you can always break it down, a cake of soap, packet of noodles, or bake some biscuits. For others of us, I'd like to encourage us, if we're in a position to give more, to give generously within your means. Let's take this opportunity to bless others this Christmas. Last week at Adelaide West, we celebrated the wedding of Deborah Ralph and Alad Provey. Deborah has grown up at Adelaide West, and it was such a joy to witness their marriage and celebrate together with them. After the message today, we'll be sharing communion together, so you may like to have some juice and some bread ready for that. Today, as we come to worship, we come as we are. No need to fear, because God comes to bring peace.
Came to call sinners, not Today's Bible reading comes from Mark 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send you my messenger ahead of you. You will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop in, down and untie. I baptize you in the water, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the beginning, what do you think of when you hear these words? Do you think of your beginning? Is that your birth? Perhaps you think of a birth notice. Or your line of descendants, where you think of a family tree. Or perhaps it's the beginning when it's your earliest memory. I have a photo of what is one of my earliest memories. I remember my dad taking this photo of my brother Pete and me for a Christmas card. My dad developed his own film in those days and printed his own photos in the 1960s and 70s. But I can remember this photo being taken, sitting on the chair and my brother being placed alongside me, my mum getting me to look away from dad. Or perhaps do you think of a storybook or a movie? In the beginning, it can take us to so many stories. Today we start the year of the Gospel of Mark, and we start with the beginning of the Gospel. Mark was writing the first Gospel at the time. No one had written a Gospel before. He started a new genre. He probably approached it like writing a biography. There's no verb in this first sentence. The beginning of the good news of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. The first verse was probably intended as the title of the book. There's no "the" either. We add that in the English. But it does link us to "in the beginning" in Genesis. But here Mark is telling us about the beginning of a new era. A time and place in which God has entered human history in an unprecedented way. He could have called it the life of the Son of God or all you need to know about Jesus the Christ, but he didn't. As this is likely to be the title of the book, it means the whole story, the whole gospel, is the beginning of the good news. It all starts here. Good news comes from the Greek, euangelio. It's where we get the word evangelism or evangelical, telling of the good news. At the time, it was actually something about the emperor. So immediately Mark's writing is both political and subversive. Mark wants us to know that the official news is that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. It is the beginning of everything, the beginning of a new way. It is the turning of the world upside down. And it starts off very abruptly with John. It's not about a baby and what happens to that baby. Mark's gospel is almost a bit anti-sentimental. It's sort of this view, a different view of Christmas. There's no baby, no manger, no baby photos anywhere. There's also no family tree or family line here. Unlike Matthew and Luke, who have a long line of Jewish ancestors, we suddenly start the story with John the Baptist and an adult Jesus. Mark does not begin with the story of Jesus Christ or some sort of doctrinal claim that insists that this is what you need to know about Jesus. Instead, he places his story of Jesus in both the continuity and the newness of God. Behind the good news is the very gospel of God. Behind Mark's interpretation of what God is up to in Jesus is what God has been doing all along, the good news. Mark quotes the prophet Isaiah foretelling over 700 years before this about my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice calling in the wilderness. These words come from Isaiah 40. At the time, the Israelites find themselves living in a political economy with high tax rates and unfair distribution of wealth, which was causing poverty and oppression, together with religious oppression. So these are words of hope, hope in the future. And here we have John the Baptist as the messenger preparing the way. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John is the voice calling in the wilderness. He's calling out for people to be prepared and to make straight paths for the Lord. You know, at the time, Roman roads were known for being straight. But this is a different kind of road, a road that upsets the rich and the powerful. The word prepare relates better to construction. So it's probably better translated as construct the way. A bit more proactive, perhaps. And yet everyone came to hear this strange, hard message from this unusual man, wearing clothing made of camel's hair, the traditional garb of a prophet, a leather belt around his waist, eating a diet of locusts and wild honey. He was known for what he preached, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And many came to hear him, and a steady stream of people were dipped into the Jordan River to publicly confess their sins. And his message was, whatever you think of me, there is someone coming after me who is greater and a lot more powerful than I will ever be. I'm not worthy to bend down and untie the strap of his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, John the Baptizer is not a king in Jerusalem. He doesn't come from the center or the heart of the nation. John isn't dependent on anyone. He's eating locusts and honey. He wasn't sponsored, doesn't need the rich. He comes from the wilderness. I wonder what we think of when we hear the word wilderness. You know, I love the wilderness, but wilderness can also be harsh and dark and unknown, has spiders and snakes and other nasties, a place without the comforts of life. When Craig and I go out bush, we take the comforts of life with us in our caravan, because the wilderness can be lonely and a place to be avoided. In literature, wilderness can symbolize doubt and chaos and fear. It's a place on the edge and far outside the safety of the town or the city. The wilderness is where Hansel and Gretel are left to fend for themselves, where Harry Potter comes face to face with his nemesis in the wilderness. Survivor and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here are set in the wilderness. Wilderness comes up about 9 times just in the beginning of Mark. And the message of the good news comes from the wilderness, from the margins. The good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God, begins in the wilderness, the symbol of fear and chaos and doubt, of uncertain times. You know, 2020 has been a year of fear and chaos and uncertainty. It was this time last year that we first heard of coronavirus, and yet we had no idea of the chaos that it would cause. 6.5 million people infected, 1.5 million people have died. the economic impacts, the mental health impacts, the lockdowns, the isolation, the fear, chaos, confusion, and uncertainty. You know, God comes to us in the wilderness, in the uncertainty, with good news, the good news of peace. Isaiah foretold that Jesus would be born and we'd be called the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in Isaiah 26, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. You know, peace can be a state of wholeness, a freedom from disturbance, a tranquility, or a period in which there's no war or the war has ended. Peace can be an internal feeling of calm and being settled just in the moment. Peace is the presence of God, even found in the midst of stuff happening in our lives, in the midst of uncertainty, in the wilderness, even in 2020. Peace is good news. We can receive peace from God. We can give peace to others, be the bearers of good news, and be at peace with ourselves in the wilderness, in the uncertain times. In the game hide and seek, it isn't the hiding that's the fun bit. If we were to ask children, do you want to sit somewhere all by yourself and keep quiet for a very long time? I don't think we'd get a great take up. What's fun about hide and seek is not the hiding, but it's being found. Everybody likes to be found. When Advent comes around every year, we are reminded that God is coming to find us. When John shouts, prepare the way of the Lord, it's as if God has just called out, ready or not, here I come. So in Mark, we have the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. God comes to us with good news of peace, the presence of God in the wilderness, in uncertain times. So receive God's peace, be at peace, and share God's peace with others. Amen.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
As we gather as a community of peace, We have the joy of sharing communion online again today, together with our in-person services in what continues to be exceptional circumstances. You're invited to take part in this communion as you're comfortable to do so. If you're not with others, it may seem a little lonely, as communion is highly communal. So think of our virtual connection as we're doing this, as a gathered community virtually, and as we gather together with Christians all over the world, many of whom are taking communion in this way. So as we think about communion, we remember the story, how on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he was around a meal table with friends. There would have been chatter and laughter and eating and banter. And while they were there, Jesus took the bread and said, "Take and eat this bread. This is my body broken for you. Take and drink this cup. This is a new covenant in my blood." And so we do this today to remember Jesus giving his life for us and to proclaim our Lord's death until he comes again. We set apart this bread and juice wherever we are, simple symbols from our kitchens, connecting us to the story of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. We remember that we fall short as we do this by what we do and what we don't do. And so we confess that to God as we come before God now. Let's pray together. Loving God, as we gather together apart, we acknowledge that you bring us together. As we worship you as our Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Father, we thank you for that beautiful relationship that we can have in you each day, that we are never alone, that you bring peace into our lives, that we can know your presence and peace in uncertain times, and that we can know your peace in times of anxiety and times of fear. Thank you that we are never alone. We give you all thanks and praise, glory and honor. Thank you for your grace, your hope and your peace. We give you thanks for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, born as one of us, lived our common life, and offered his life to you in perfect obedience and trust. We are sorry for those times when we miss the mark, when we do things that separate us from you, us from each other and others. We do offer those things to you and say that we're sorry. And thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven through the death of Jesus on the cross. Holy God, we also thank you for your gifts of creation, this bread and juice. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts. And we pray that we who eat and drink them in obedience to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit may be made one with him and with each other in peace and love. And so we say with Christians all over the world, Hosanna in the highest. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together, using your preferred version and in your preferred language. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I encourage you to take the bread and to tear it apart. This bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. It's a reminder that we're a broken people put back together again by God. And the cup that we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ, reminding us of the life of Christ. So here at this table of bread and cup, graced by the Spirit of hope and peace, we discover the wonderful love that Jesus has for us, and we rejoice that these are the gifts of God for us, the people of God. I invite you to take and eat the bread. Share it around with others in the room if you're with others, and to remember Jesus' body broken and his compassion for us. And we take the cup, remembering the life that Jesus lived and the life that we are called to live, called to love others above ourselves. We pray. As a scattered community today, may we be a sign of hope and faith. A people of peace, united in community together. And may this food strengthen us to love one another and help us to be the people that you call us to be in this world. And as part of our love for God and compassion for others, we pray for others. Lord God, we continue to pray for areas in our world that are doing it tough. I would particularly pray for those places where there is no peace, where war rages, where greed takes over. We pray for people that are under oppression, suffering with hunger. And we continue to pray for our world at this time of COVID-19. Pray for those countries that are doing it tough, and we continue to pray for a vaccine for all. Lord Jesus, we pray for our communities. We pray that our churches will be places of peace, the visible evidence that a better world is possible. And we pray that you would call us, equip us, and help us to reach out to the people around us. And Holy Spirit, we bring to those that are on our hearts at the moment. We think of those with anxiety, struggling with uncertainty, or with health, grief, loneliness, struggling with work. And for each face and name that we've lifted to you, we pray for your peace, your presence, your love to surround them each day. We also bring to you our gifts, our monetary gifts, as well as our practical gifts, the food, the items of food that we're writing on different words to, our time and energy we give you ourselves. We pray that the gifts that we bring would bless others, would share the good news of peace in uncertain times. So we lift to you all of our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
earth in shadow, restlessly hold, labor's waiting in silent hope for the promise it longs to know what heaven holds. Then the angels in holy haste lift their anthem, your Savior lays in a manger, in humble form your King is born. The Prince of Heaven comes, angel choirs of the call, for this babe wrapped in a cloth is the incarnate Word of God. All the kingdom and its power resting now in this child, Prince of Heaven, Jesus, hope of the This means mercy in fullest form, loving kindness forevermore. Son of David and Son of God, He is Christ the Lord. Hear the prayer.
What a joy it is to be able to celebrate communion together and also to be able to share together in this service. We hope this service has brought you peace today. Reach out and connect with others today and this week. Share our stories together. Prayer is always available. Ring or if you or email, or if you're watching live, press the prayer button. We're starting to read the New Testament one chapter at a time from the 1st of December. So we're in Matthew, and I encourage you, if you'd like to join us, we'll put the calendar up on the Facebook page and also the website, and you can join us there. There are still some of us also reading a chapter of the Old Testament every week, every day as well. But it's a good opportunity to be able to read the Bible together. So I commend that to you. I'm going to read the New Testament this time in the Passion Version, choosing a different version for that. Our Christmas services are coming up. We're hoping to live stream them. We have Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. and Christmas Day at 9 a.m. and we should have some more details regarding that next week. Thank you for being a part of this. We look forward to meeting together again next week in person and online. God comes with good news about Jesus the Messiah, with good news of peace, God's presence in the wilderness in uncertain times. So receive God's peace, be at peace, and share God's peace with others. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
And with gladness here, the Prince of Heaven comes, angel choirs sound the call, for this babe wrapped in a cloth is becoming